morning. Hello. Hey, have I been on? Has anybody noticed me talking earlier? No? Oh, that's good. Okay. Well, I don't know. It seemed like I just tried to turn it on, and I turned myself off, and I thought, oh, I've been on all this time. But anyway, good morning, Joel. Welcome. Come on in. Water's fine. So it's going to be one of those days on Mother's Day. This doesn't work. This is not... I think we should all leave and come back and try again. No? Okay. We're glad you're here. And so let's see. Dawn, thank you. She's kind of back in place there this morning, helping up there, up high and lifted up. All right. And let's see. Kathy is back with us, feeling better. And so welcome back. The rest of you are just kind of who you are, right? Who, what?
Joel.
Well, he was here last Sunday, so it doesn't matter now. Right, Joel? Back once, that's it. Yay, okay, if you insist. All right, who's got a colored bulletin insert? Oh, no, you're lying. Let me see. Let me see, I don't believe you. Let me see it. Huh? Look at that. Yay, Tom. Okay, who else? There must be someone else. What happened to Brittany? I'll bet Brittany's got it. So that's why she left. Okay, so I guess it's time for announcements. Shall we see what we got upcoming? I think I hit the wrong thing. Ah, yes, welcome Wayne. Wayne's our special guy. Happy Mother's Day. Yeah, it's that. That's why some of them are missing Wednesday night, continuing in our Bible study, John chapter 5, verse 24. Verse 24. Excuse me. Next Sunday, Brother Hollis will be preaching, and we forgot to include the message, but if you want to see what the message title is, look at your Bible reading insert, and it's there. All righty, and those readings, of course, prepare you for what he's going to share with us next Sunday. Also will be our monthly food and fellowship fair celebrating May birthdays and anniversaries, of which my wife and us get to celebrate both, coming up here soon. Alrighty, church council meeting on the scheduled for the 20th. We'll see about that. Okay, and then... Baby bottle of boomerang, excuse me. By the way, just an announcement, kind of a serious one. I did have a memory test last Monday, and it was confirmed have some, he didn't use the word significant, but definite brain impairment. Now, you've all known that from the very beginning, but it is getting worse. So appreciate your prayers on that. baby bottle's back there, so take one and bring it back by June the 20th. That's Father's Day. And please sign your name and put the bottle number that's on the bottle. And that helps Life Choices Pregnancy Center, an annual fundraising for them. Okay? Okay, what is this, Mike? You know, we have volunteers at Helping Hands who actually work. And then there's some who we have to roll around on a dolly. See that? Mike was like so out of it, I had to put him on a dolly and roll him around a little bit. Work or play? I'm not sure which was harder, him being on the dolly or me having to roll it, but it was... Good point. So once in a while we do have some fun there, right? Cheryl came and joined us this week, and so that was great. And anytime you want to have some fun, come to Helping Hands. This is Mother's Day. Go ahead. Yes. Full-time job. One of the toughest in the world. We're glad Brittany is here this morning with her two little ones back there. Brittany, you didn't happen to have the colored bulletin insert, did you?
I didn't look
yet. Okay, you did. You did have it. So, yay, Brittany's here with her little ones. Psalm 86, 15 and 16. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servant. Save me because I serve you just as my mother did. Well, I can say that with gratitude today. That may not be the case for everyone, and I'm sorry if it's not, but what a blessing it is, isn't it, when we have a mother who has served the Lord and has been a good example and encouraged us in that. And so we celebrate that today and the love that God gives to us through our mothers. So let's bow and open our hearts to Him. Father, as always, we come into your house with thanksgiving and gratitude today, and especially for the gift of love you've given us through mothers. And each one of us has received that gift, and we wouldn't be here today. And so we thank you for how you've designed it all. And Lord, we pray that you will honor this time as we honor our mothers and ultimately honor you and your love, your gifts in our lives. And so as we open our hearts today to worship you, Lord, help us by your Spirit to be able to do that freely, and that we can give you the praise and the honor that you alone are worthy of. We give you praise in your Son's name. Amen. Stand and greet. Don't want to miss the last dime. Thank you, Evie. Thank you. Good job. All righty. Thank you, Brittany. Bless you. All righty. Well, as odd as it may seem, we're going to talk about Paul being a mother today. Does that seem odd? No? Good. Because he considered himself a mother, just like God does, Jesus did. And so we're going to consider that and some of the important things that Paul shares with us concerning that. Mother Pauline's mothering. Now, the term Pauline, as some of you may know, is all things Paul. So I have a book on my shelf called Pauline Theology. So it's the theology of Paul. And so this is the mothering of Paul. Pauline, mothering, okay? Is that okay, Shaney? She's not too sure. You don't have to say. Just nod your head. Shake. Okay. Nothing. Ooh, okay. Well, I'm glad you consider me a peer. That's a plus. All right, so Paul did consider himself a mother in some ways, and he writes about this in Galatians, and he's writing about the choice they have between the law and grace. And so we're going to begin with, first of all, lawful labor, lawful. So that's an interesting word. Law is in there, and awful is in there. Most mothers consider labor awful. But when you get to the end of it and it's all over, boy, it's a lot of joy just because of that. Isn't it interesting how a lot of pain can lead to a lot of joy because of what we've had to go through, and then the relief and all of that just is greater joy than if we hadn't experienced it. You want to say something?
A reward
for the labor. Exactly. Yes. Okay. So Paul is laboring because of their lawfulness. Let's put it that way. Galatians chapter 4, please, verse 19 beginning.
My dear children, for whom I am again in pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you.
Okay, Paul is speaking as a mother. My dear children, for who I am again in the pains of childbirth. Interesting that he puts it that way, isn't it? And, you know, if we have the privilege of helping people become born again, we're mothers. You can throw the father thing in there. That's okay. God's both. So it works together. But sometimes there's pain involved in that birthing process. And Paul was going through that. They had come to faith in Christ. Now they're falling back into the law. And so he's going through these labor pains again with them to get them back into grace. And it can be that way sometimes. It can be frustrating. It can be, you know, a lot of different things when we're working with people and trying to encourage them in their faith and they fall back, and it can be painful. And so this is kind of how Paul is describing it. It's like a mother going through labor pains. And this reminded me of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, a familiar passage.
Jesus replied, "Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born again when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time to their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again."
Can you imagine how much more painful it is for a mother to have the child now grown try to get back into her womb to be born again? Can you imagine that pain? That'd be a whole lot worse than the original labor, right? Here again, it's an analogy of spiritual things. And so this being born again, and sometimes we have to be born another time because we've fallen back into sinfulness, lawfulness, as it were, and depending on, you know, self-righteous acts and all of that, not depending on grace and God's mercy as such. And so there's kind of this being born and then being born again, and through all of this there's a laboring process that, especially if we're helping someone else through that, can be difficult for us at the same time. And so there is this dynamic in the Christian faith that has a lot of mothering involved in it. And so I want us to explore this a little bit more. Paul then goes on to explain the difference between the law and the grace, as exampled in Abraham's wife Sarah and her mistress Hagar, and what we might call next hamstrung Hagar. Hamstrung Hagar. What's it mean to be hamstrung? What's that? Unable to walk. Something happens to the hamstring, and it's used, the hamstrung then is used in other ways, not just physically, but it means you're kind of tied down, you're limited, and all of that. This is what happens when we fall back in under the law, and Hagar is an example of that. Galatians 4, continuing from verse 21, please.
"Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a divine promise. These things are being taken figuratively. The women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children."
Hagar is in slavery. She represents Mount Sinai, the law, and self-righteousness and all that, as we've talked about. Sarah represents just grace and freedom because she was not able to bear children until, you know, past 90, as she was. Only by God's grace was she gifted to have a child. And so we see the picture of the two of them representing the law and grace. Hagar is hamstrung because she's of the law. She's tied down. She's restricted. She doesn't have the freedom that Sarah had. And, of course, this affects our children as we pass it on, if we pass the law on in that way. Ishmael was spoken of as one who was hamstrung by Hagar, as we can pick it up in Genesis 16.
The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers."
How many of us want to be born to be Ishmael? Sorry, it's a miserable life. His name means misery, and he was going to be in hostility with everyone. None of us enjoy that. That's not a good life. And so this, again, is representative. It's an analogy for what happens spiritually if we fall into a lawfulness. It's awful, and it has a lot of negative consequences, not only for ourselves, but for everyone else we're associated with. It's not freedom. It's not living in the Spirit. And so this is the picture that Paul is lifting back up. In contrast to hamstrung Hagar is the free mother, Sarah, who out of gladness and joy becomes shouting Sarah. Shouting Sarah. Where do we get that? Paul continues in Galatians 4, verse 26 following.
"But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, 'Be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Shout for joy and cry aloud, you who were never in labor, because more of the children are of the desolate women than of her who has a husband.'"
Okay, so Sarah was not able to bear children until God gifted them with Isaac, and then the generations that follow, God had promised to Abraham, it would be numberless. And we are a part of that. Can we shout for joy? Yeah. Yay! Don't you want to say, yell, yalleluia? Yalleluia. Okay, there you go. And we should be joyful. And when we get really happy, you know, we usually want to make some noise about it, don't we? And this, is, of course, is shouting Sarah. The writer of Proverbs summarizes the difference between the Hagar and the Sarah in Proverbs 29:6.
"Evildoers are snared by their own sin, but the righteous shout for joy and are glad."
That was a pretty good shout. That was pretty close to a shout there. I appreciate the effort, Linda. Thank you. Let's just all shout again. Yay! All right. Good job, Ron. Proud of you. By the way, Ron said it was okay what I said about him last week. It was true. He said it was true. So I was speaking the truth in love, right? Tell your wife I said that, Ron. Okay, so the evildoers are ensnared or hamstrung by their sin. The righteous shout for joy and are glad, shouting Sarah. Are we glad to be the children of shouting Sarah instead of hamstrung Hagar? Good. All right. Well, let's go on to see some more that Paul describes about the difference between the two. And we are, what shall we put there? Celestial children. Celestial. Galatians 4, continuing.
"Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does Scripture say? 'Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brother and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery."
Okay, you want to woohoo again? Stand firm, then. Praise God, that works too. Whatever the expression may be, if it's from the heart of gratitude and joy because we are that, then we can make whatever noise we want. And hopefully we have the freedom to do so that others will hear and be glad along with us and be drawn want to be celestial children, heavenly children. That's what we are, born of the Spirit, yes, and all of the good stuff that comes along with it. By the way, I think I forgot to mention, Coon Blank, that part of the inspiration for this message came by the fact that this guy over here seems to be obsessed with the Paul, all things Pauline here of late, and is going to continue in that. And I thought, well, it'll fit kind of nicely if we get Paul, Mother Pauline's perspective and mothering as well. So anyway, take that for what it's worth. Yes. And one of the ways that we stand firm, I want to offer to you as freedom of celestial children that we are, is by following and keeping what was one of my, well, it was my mom's favorite Bible passage, which I share this many times and is out there in the foyer over the memorial plaques out of Colossians chapter 3. What does it have to say?
Since then you have been risen with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life... For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Shaney, if you're going to get emotional when you read, we're not going to let. That's why this guy over here, we don't let him read, because he does the same. No, it's beautiful. Thank you. Yes, I'm glad it touches your heart. And it ought to touch our hearts. And it touches my heart that this was Mom's favorite passage, because it's a key to how we stand firm in our celestial children freedom. We keep our minds set on heavenly things. We're celestial children. Our minds should be there, not on earthly things. It's a hard thing to do day by day. We're dealing with a lot of earthly stuff. And being a excuse me. See what you did to me? Being a mother can really get grinding day by day. A lot of details, a lot of messy work and that sort of thing. But it represents just what we all deal with in life that can get really messy. And so we need to keep our minds in God's, from God's view and perspective, to be able to deal as best we can with what we have here. So we are celestial children, and that's where our minds should be, honoring those who have given us that example and teaching. Mother Pauline's mothering, of course, is based in and is based in the example that God himself set for us in what we might call, there it is, majestic mothering. Majestic mothering out of Isaiah chapter 49 and 66. Please, Tom.
Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. For this is what the Lord says. I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted.
Isn't it beautiful how God expresses his love and care for us as a mother? And he says, she might forget you, but I never will. So he's claiming to be the best mother ever. And of course he is. And I love the idea that God is both father and mother. And that's where we get the fullness of the expressions of love that God gives to us in different ways. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And how many times have we been blessed to receive that comfort from the Lord, the things that we've dealt with. There's nothing more precious in my mind than that. My own experience of God's majestic mothering was passed down to me in by my mom, of course, expressed in what was our bulletin scripture, in Psalm 86.
But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servant. Save me, because I serve you just as my mother did.
Yeah. You know, I have always considered that my dad was about the greatest person after Jesus who ever lived. I couldn't have a higher opinion of my father. But the same is, yes. And when I first came to Sandpoint, another pastor said, you should run for mayor. You could win on your father's name. Probably would have been true at the time. But I lived here long enough where that name no longer represents what it did. But I also have the highest regard for my mother, and I serve the Lord as my mother did. I relate in a lot of ways more to my mom than I did my father, which is not a bad thing. You know, we all have our personalities and we connect in different ways like that. I vowed that I'm going to learn how to play that machine over there that she was so gifted on. I may still do it in my old age and retirement, but I just want to say how much it has meant to me to be able to have a mother and father both like that, to get the fullness of who God is. If you miss one or the other, then you don't have a full appreciation for who God is. And to me, that's one of the greatest gifts a mother of faith can give to us, is to get a full picture of who God is. Jesus himself extended his mothering arms to us as the gentle gatherer in Matthew chapter 23.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those to you, how often as a gatherer, and you were not willing. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
It's always touched my heart that Jesus, when he crested the hill and looked to Jerusalem on that last week of his life, said, oh, Jerusalem, how much I've longed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, a mothering kind of love, just wanted to gather them. Come to me, come to me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I am here to love you, to love on you. And I think sometimes recently of Brittany and other young mothers, they come into Helping Hands there, they've got this thing on them where the child is carried, you know, and it's wrapped around the mother's neck. It's, what do you call those things? Huh? A snuggly?
That's what I had, a snuggly.
Snuggly, the baby's
very
in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, isn't it kind of attached around the neck to keep, yeah. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, I'm yoked together with you is what Jesus is offering us. And so we can snuggle, snuggle, huggle in the yoke of Jesus as well. He's the gentle gatherer. Returning to Paul, he again describes himself as mothering Pauline in 1 Thessalonians 2.
But we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children.
Oh, Paul, give it up. Come on, that's enough mothering, isn't it? How beautiful is that? Yeah, we don't often think of the Apostle Paul as a mother, but there it was, because of the love of God in his life. Finally, Paul reminds us, reminds one of his children, Timothy, of the great faith and the importance of fanning faithfulness in his life. 2 Timothy 1. Yes, that's you, Don.
I'm writing.
You're writing. Would you read, please?
Okay.
I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in her mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline.
Yeah. And as we've been going through some stuff in this time of transition in my library, and I've discovered some things that I don't think I ever saw before. If I had, I had like totally forgotten about them. Things my mom had that had been passed on to her from her mom and some others down through, and I have been able to understand, again, the thread of faith that has come down through the years to me and how privileged and blessed I am because of that. And Paul reminds his son in the faith, Timothy. You think he, suppose he had some labor pains with Timothy as well? And he continued to instruct Timothy, probably more like a mother did. It reminds him of Timothy's grandmother and his mother, who he is familiar with. And because of this, fan into flame yours. Fan into flame your faith. Be faithful because of that thread of faith that has been handed down to you. And so we are challenged today to be like our mothers, if we've had that privilege and blessing. If we haven't, we want to commit ourselves to being motherly, whether we're mothers or not. Us guys, evidently, can be Pauline as well. I guess I'd be Johnine, which means I'm my daughter. But anyway, the point is, we're encouraged and challenged today, as usual, by God's Word, as we reflect on the mothering that Paul felt, and that God represents the example, ultimate example to us, to share his love in whatever way he gives us opportunity. Again, we may not literally be a mother, we may not have that experience, but we can be a mother to someone in the faith. And we can be a father as well. We can represent all the love of God to them. And so our prayer as we respond to God's word is to give us homes built firm upon the Savior. Give us godly mothers and fathers so that our children will know him and be able to share his love and pass it on as well. So would you stand and join me as we respond with this familiar hymn. As always, the altar is open if you desire to pray here.
Still song,
where prayer comes first and
Yes, Lord, enable our homes to be your home, where you are the Lord, and you are the one that is high and lifted up, that every member of the home is drawn to you. And let that spill out beyond our homes into the opportunities we have each day out and about in the community, wherever we're at, to share your love with others. What a privilege it is. What a great joy. It just makes us want to shout. The privilege to be your celestial children. Thank you again for the particular gift of mothers and how beautifully that represents a part of who you are and what you offer to us. Help us to freely offer it to others. Thank you again for my own mother and for my good wife who is a good mother, and for each mother here today and those that we're missing, mindful of a number that aren't able to be with us today. Thankful that, as always, that we're united by your Spirit, and as we remember each one, lift them up in our prayers. You're there doing your work, sharing your love with them as well. Pray, Father, that you would just continue to grant your healing for Sue and for Bulldog and for Beth Ann, for Sherry, as she's going to be going through pain therapy again, and for Jackie's son, who's had this stroke. We lift up Frida especially in this time. It's difficult, though she and Alma are able to celebrate, and we all celebrate Mike's homegoing. Nonetheless, there are a lot of issues to deal with, and we pray your special grace and strength, comfort for her through this time. Thank you, Lord, that we have the assurance of reuniting with our loved ones based on our faith in you and what you've given to us through your Son. Thank you, Father, that we can just entrust every concern and care to you and know that you're at work in them. And we think of those members of our families who perhaps are away from you and aren't represented in what we just sang. But Lord, they're not beyond your care, not beyond your reach. And so we offer them up our prayers to you now and pray that your love will be wrapped around them, that they will surrender fully to you. Thank you that you're always listening to us and receiving other expressions of praise and petition from your people. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Bless Ron as he loves her and cares for her, the rest of the family as well.
You give us the opportunity to encourage, pray, feel the aches and the peace and the time. So
yes. Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes. Thank you, Lord. And I do thank you, Father, that Joel is able to be with us again, and pray your continued healing for him as well, strengthening, and all the other issues he's working through as well. And we give you praise for it. As we often say, we're finding it hard, perhaps, to express what's on our hearts. So listen to our hearts as we offer it up to you. And thank you again, Lord, for this day, a special day to celebrate, to help us to make the most of it as we are sensitive to your Spirit's leading and obedient in following you and showing our love to you and to others. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Unless you're a mother, please remain standing because the children are going to be coming with some honoring things for our moms they have made or are bringing together with something they've made. And I think my wife went back there to get them. There they come. Okay. Oh, forget the little ones. Let's just grab the flowers and forget it. Ooh. No, it would be the worst idea, Brittany. Thank you. Bless you. Let's hear that little Evie and Bennett's noise. That's what we want to hear. Here they come. Okay, yay, yay.
So, all right, I think we start with the youngest mother.
And.
Okay, so I think that's Brittany. Let's give
Brittany. Yay, Brittany, youngest mother. And.
Do you want to give a flower to your mother?
Oh, poor Bennett. Bennett wanted to give the flower. Bennett wanted to give the flower. Oh.
You want to give a flower to your mom?
Oh, oops. They might not. Yay.
Okay, now the oldest mother.
Who wants to volunteer as oldest? You're going to have a fight. You're going to have a fight on your hands. Okay, Beth Ann and.
Hey, Evie, you want to come up and give one to Beth Ann?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Give one to Beth Ann. There we go. And give her a card. Okay, then the mother with the most children.
By the way, all mothers, if you prefer a different color than what you get, there's plenty available there. Okay.
And then who
has the most? Anyone who has had more than five?
Okay.
Nope. Shannon gets the honor for the most. For the most labor.
All right, there we go. All right.
And give her the
you want to give her that flower?
Take your choice, Shannon. Are there five in there? Perfect. Yes, if you want to trade, you can do that. Give one to Lula. There you go. Shaney's. Those two ladies over there. Over here, Evie. So did just the three special ones get the cards?
Oh, no, everybody gets cards.
Okay, there's more cards. More cards. Okay, give cards to the ladies, too. Yay, you're doing a good job, Evie. You too, Bennett. You too, buddy. Shannon, you want to say? Good job. All right, thank you for sharing that, Shannon. All righty. Get out of here. Have a happy Mother's Day. Again, if anyone wants to trade, there's more up and there's more back here. And if you want to take one to someone who's missing, feel free.
Oh, Michelle.